It is a Saturday evening and Sluggy Dan, he is ready, raring to go. Of course, Bajan Roots and Rhythms right here on VLB 92.9 FM. Special guest today. I'll tell you what, one of those guests, a People's Monarch from 2004, who sang the type of song that people are still singing today. Sluggy, over to you.
I'm still here, Ronnie.
Statement, you there?
Yes, I am.
Miss Williams, are you there?
Yes, please.
Sluggy Dan, are you there? I don't know what's happened. I don't know where he is. He must be in a funnel. He must be somewhere. So here's what we're going to do to try and get him back on the air. We're going to go here.
You can hear me? You can hear me, Ronnie?
Kevin, are you there?
Yes, you can hear me?
This is the fourth time we called you. Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Good, I can hear you. Claire, manners and respect. Greetings to everyone. Hope the connection is still nice and sweet. Thank you very much to the two special guests we have today. First, let me introduce the ladies first. So we introduce royalty first. First, Ms. Tila Williams from Your Creative Ventures. And I must say, you're doing a wonderful job. A wonderful, wonderful job in the midst of this COVID-19, this pandemic, and you're keeping a lot of people online entertained, you know, keeping a lot of people online entertained, so I must thank you for that. So, good evening, Miss Williams.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it.
That's no problem, man. When you're doing good work, it must be show talk for your mountain talk. And good evening to this Sophie who think that he's the best at Pekong. See, he's the best that could come up with lyrics off the top of your head. Always challenging me, but knowing he ain't ready. But he's one of Barrett's finest songwriters, written for lots of people over the years. He launched many careers. He had one of the sweetest tunes ever in Barbados. He wrote for Keisha Christian. Later on, he said he was a people's monarch. Good evening to my brethren, Mr. Statement. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening, manners and respect to you. Sluggy Dan, thanks for having me. Good evening, Barbados, and to whoever's locked on over the world. You say also big respect and hello and good evening to Telia, who also doing fantastic things. But more than you give me that introduction there, Justin, I thought you was an introduction, but you got it when you say freestyle singing.
So what, friend? Well, boy, Statement, boy, you see, you the best.
Lucky you don't walk it in the day,
you? Yes. So, but yes, let me start here, quick, Statement. I'm glad you throw me mind there. You could be spontaneous here. When you first realized you had that, though, and I read that a lot of people were still shocked when he was posting videos and different videos all the time, original lyrics all the time. So, you know, everything is sent me down, you share it, and people be like, yes, Tim, got this put down. And they say, and I went on Facebook and said, Statement called me. I posted on Facebook, I'm sure you saw it too. Statement called me all the time, and this become a freestyling off the top of your head. This man is insane. So I could literally be talking to Statement. I want Barbara to hear this and hear how incredible our artists are. How good our bidding artists are. I could call Statement. I tell Statement, chicken. Statement, you mess a sample chicken on the spot. I could tell Statement, rice. Statement, you mess a sample rice on the spot. Where you get this from, Statement? When you first realized you had this?
Well, I raised in the era where all I was listening to was the Yellow Man and Taya and Peter Metro and Blackhead, and that era. And I was always into reggae dance, or a lot of dub, as you would call it, when I was younger. And at school, I used to always be the one to be beating up the desk and chanting, as we used to say. We used to call it chanting. And
yes.
That used to be a fun thing for me, and I used to always do it all through the house. I would be doing it, and it's only when I went to New York then to spend some time with my family, and I'm talking about 1988, 89, and my aunt at the time, she wanted a voice message on her phone that people called, they would hear this thing. And I can remember today.
Hold on. What you say this was? 88, 89?
That was 1988, 89. And
you have to be young. I'm telling you to shout out. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish the story.
And it was like, well, if it's Priscilla that you want, Mrs. She's not at home. If it's Priscilla that you need, Mrs. She's not at home. Just leave her name and number after the tone. And she will call you back as soon as she get home. See ya. And that. And from that moment there, then I was like,
they might remember it, yo.
But and one of the funny things about me as an artist, I never used to like writing songs. I never used to write them down. I used to just freestyle them. And one of the things with me then that if I freestyle a song now, I come back 5 minutes later, I can freestyle something totally different because it's not going to be the same lyrics, it's going to be the same words.
Yeah, at all. A different melody too. So it's just lyrics.
that used to be in a sense fun for me, but then we're linking up with certain people the same, well, you gotta start recording, so nah, recording nothing, they just freestyling. And I used to just do it. And then one day, I just got more into music. For those who don't know, I'll tell them now. From my father's side of family, my mother's side a bit, Peter Ram is my first cousin. My grandmother was Peter Ram's aunt. And I know a lot of people don't already know that. And one of the baddest, greatest trumpet players in Barbados, Ricky Braffitt, that is my uncle. And to see, it was funny is that a lot of people didn't know that. And I knew it when I got older, even after I got into music, then I realized who Ricky Braffitt was. I got to say big respect to my uncle, Ricky Braffitt. And I just love music from small. From an early age, I've always loved music. And to freestyle, as you know, I was from the dub era. I used to be always into that song. And once again, for those who never knew, Statement did never like soca music. The amount of hate I had for soca music is way more love that I got for soca music now than I had hatred for it. Because when I hear soca music, I was like, nah, soca music ain't for me. That is what music and people walking up. Because I was into this conscious thing. If you look at my background, reggae music was all this conscious last days. Where is the love? How many more? You know, and I just decided one year to just try soca music, try to love soca music, and now for me is the greatest thing.
Just keep going, Statement. We're listening. I'll try and find him.
Yeah. So that was just where I started with the whole freestyling stuff, and it became a love for me. Just started writing, even when I wrote the song that first bust me really into soca, which was Wanna Be. That was the idea just from back and from St. Vincent recording with the great Adrian Bailey, who recorded for Kevin Little Turn Me On. And I just had this idea for this track, and I just walked from Kingston to Lodge Road to get on the ZR. And one of the things, before you get me further, even when I started work, I was to work on the ZRs as well, conducting on ZRs. I remember many times people would tell my driver, turn off, he said, and let me just sing. And that used to be fun for me. So that was one of the things I used to always do. And then I remember walking from Lodge Road now, from Kingston to Lodge Road with this song right in my head. Because I want to be there when you need me most. Because I want to be right there when you want. And I sang that from Kingston to Lodge Road into a ZR to Bridgetown. I decided, nah, boy, I came back home and record this. Then in the ZR, came back home, walked back home, singing the same chorus, all the time repeating the chorus in my head. Because one of the sweetest things one of the first things that grabs you, and you can attest to this, is a melody. And the melody for Wanna Be was something that, I mean, as my first time really directing a song like that, and walking home, repeating this thing over and over and over till I get home and write it down. That song, for those who didn't really know, Wanna Be had 6 verses. And I wrote all 6 verses, kept them, recorded 3. And when I recorded the song, I recorded Wanna Be, I recorded Were You Harning Me? And there was another song that they also did by Underground Shooters and Michael Edgar and Darren Grant. And when I went for that to do those 3 songs, I remember telling Mikey, well, this Harness song will be big. Mikey said, no, Statement. Wanna Be going to be big tune. And I was like, well, who said so? And when Wanna Be was released, I remember hearing Wanna Be, if Wanna Be was playing on 95.3, Wanna Be would be playing. And at that time, Ronnie could attest to this, 104 didn't used to really play soca, but they used to play the love ballads of soca music.
Yeah.
And Wanna Be will be playing on 2 of them stations. So I think 2 totally different stations at the same time. And that is what opened my eyes a lot to the how popular the song was. And But then it was in the 10, the first thing that embraced me then was with a thing called Rivalers. Rivalers, mm-hmm. I think it was Rivalers. And the song used to get so much love. Then it was drafted into the Untouchables just to make a guest appearance in the Untouchables thing with that song with Red Plastic Bag. And the first time I performed, I got an encore. And when I got the encore, I went on the call back on. I went and sing over one of the verses again. And I said, nah, boy, you got other verses for this song. And then I remember the other verses, then I sang them. And every time I get another encore, I remember sometimes I got two encores for the same song. So every time I went back on, it was a totally different verse, a different verse all the time. And that was fun for me. I enjoyed it. And I am really thankful to say that one of the things that I am glad that I never allowed it to do was to get to my head and make me feel that I am more important than anybody else. And, you know, I always remain humble. But music is something that I love. I love music. I still follow reggae, but I can't tell you who's the biggest reggae artist, who's the biggest dancehall artist, who's the biggest dancehall song. But soca music is me. Soca music is life.
Yes, at the time, right, statement. That was a, let's say, a risk. Like, you doing that lovey-dovey in soca. It wasn't around much. The way you was doing it, like the sing-song, wanna be there and you need me, like the sing-song wasn't around much. It was a risk. What made you so confident in doing it?
Well, for me, it wasn't me being confident in doing it. It was a blessing that I got. That's what I would say. It was a blessing, because at that time, don't forget, I was still into dancehall heavy. And I think Kevin Little was the only person who had the song Turn Me On.
Yeah.
And Turn Me On was in 2001, 2002, I think. And I just feel a vibe, like, because the first soca song that I really record, well, one of the songs that I did, but my first soca song I said that I record was a song called Look, They're Walking Up in the Party. Oi, oi, from Eastern Park, where them want me. Oi, oi, we getting down in a band, down there somewhere in England, getting down behind woman. That was the first soca song I recorded by underground music as well. And it was on a compilation by the guy who used to do, the only person who used to do this, the records, the vinyls in Barbados, which was World. And they had put out the album that year, and that song was featured on the album. Then the next year, that was 2001, 2002, I came with a song called Already. And Already was featuring Tony Billy from Crossfire. And then the next year, which was in two, Already is the song that really, really cracked the door for Statement. Then Wanna Be in 2003 was the song that opened the doors for me. So when Wanna Be took off, I mean, there's a whole, I could take all the time telling you the whole history behind Wanna Be, because Wanna Be was a song that opened doors for me. It did open doors. I remember, I went to Crawford. I used to be traveling with Kiana. I got to say big respect to Kiana as well. I can never ever do an interview and do not remember Kiana Walters. Respect her on what she's doing now in gospel. And kudos to you, Kiana. But I remember me and Kiana one night, that's the night when the guy walked onto the truck, sad moment, but still had to bring it up. And we was on the truck and we was heading down for 4 day morning, and then we was heading down to Tim. On the highest, Eddie's actually. And I remember we get off the truck and walk down to Tim's then, to Eddie's then, to just go in the venue to let people know, well, we won't be coming anymore because of what happened and whatever. And leaving the venue, Kiana and I, we were walking, and I heard this lady shouting this American accent, take next. I said, Kiana, we run, Kiana, run. So we run. And Kiana said, nah, Statement, don't run. That might be a fight. So Kiana, I didn't know she didn't run. And I stopped then. She came up and said, you know how big your song is in New York? I'm like, yeah, right. Somebody probably paid you to can't tell me something, though. So she said, nah, your song is so popular. And I'd be hearing this song every morning on my way to work. And I'm like, okay. I said, do you want a poster? She said, yeah, you got posters. So that time, posters was the thing. So I had a lot of posters in my car. I got a big respect to Alvin Kirk, who is doing a wonderful job still, always to this day. Alvin Hardy, and I knew him as by Alvin Kirk now. I had posters.
Awesome job for sure.
Yeah, I had some posters that Alvin did for me. Alvin was always ahead of the game. Alvin did me some posters with the lyrics to Wanna Be, down the side of them. And I autographed one and gave it to her. Going home the night, then get up in the morning, call my uncle, ask my uncle about this song in New York, because I want to know if these people telling me the truth, because it was real people telling me that this song was real big in New York. And
it was you,
calling my uncle, my uncle's telling me, yeah. Yeah, boy, that Crossfire song. I said, Crossfire? Because he didn't know I was singing. He didn't know that I was singing, you know. He said, but yeah, but that Edwin Hill with the crossfire song. I said, Uncle Dan, Edwin Hill, that's me. And he laughed. He said, nah. I said, man, you making sport. Called my aunt's uncle now, who's Trini, living in New York. I asked him the same question, and he gone to the line too with this song big. And I said, man. I called Mikey. I said, Mikey, how much money you spend? He said, what are you talking about? He said, Mikey, well, everybody I talked in New York telling me this song based on what you want. You pay people money to tell me these things. I was blown. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. Then, Keanu and I, we went to New York. We had our first show in New York for Beijing King Edwin, who worked at VP Records. He had a party, and he brought a Keanu and myself. Flexi was also there. I think, what's his name? Duck. I think Duck was there as well, I think. And we went to this show. Duck. Yeah, we went to this show. Trevor Eason was the MC at this show, I remember, in Club Carib. Yeah. And when everybody gone on to sing Keanu, Flexi, Duck, all these people going on and singing, and then Trevor Eason come back and everybody talking. I said, Trevor, welcome all these people going on before me. I didn't want to go on there. And sort of said, relax yourself. I'll never forget. Relax yourself. You can't go there yet. I should wait. Which mind, let me everybody go on there and sing. Everybody go on and sing. Everybody crying back and on stage and say, statement, they're real nice, boy. Real. Say, yeah. They should be feeling any girl you can't sing. So then Trevor say, ready now? Say, ready every time you want. You walk back and say, no. All right, when Trevor go on there, introduce me. Barbados, I'm telling you, that is the moment, because this is my first performance in New York. No, I did it in Barbados. I had the love and the response in Barbados was really, really good. When I got on the stage in Club Carib that night, that was the first time I actually cried on a stage. I could not believe the amount of love that was pouring out towards me. And it really, really humbled me. It really did. The other moment besides that, I can remember that humbled me. I was like, I can't stop because I could tell you a lot from where I started to where I am now. One of the other humbling moments for me was I was at my aunt's house now in Queens, and I was getting ready to go and do a show. I think it was the same show I was getting ready to go and do the next thing. And WLIB was the big station in New York. And I remember this lady, there's a guy called DJ Spice from Grenada. And this lady called in and said, well, Spice, I just want to request this song for my sons because, you know, their father was killed 2 weeks ago. And she came on. And then, well, I want you to play Wannabe for them because I want to know I'll be always there for them. And when he played this song and it was Wannabe, you could have stick me with a pin. You want to find no blood. I remember sitting in that chair in my aunt's house and water just ran down my face. Like, I was like a big baby. I was like, nah. My aunt came and asked. Well, I could not even get the words out. It's so serious, like I could not even get out a word.
Before that, what you were doing before that?
Well, before that, I was a conductor. I used to work at ZRS, and that was something that I loved to do because I was the man on Silver Hill and Silver Sands Road. I was the conductor on Denton Road, and as I said earlier, when you wasn't there, it's like I remember people used to get up on the ZRS and tell me you would turn off the radio so I could sing, and I'd be chanting from tongue. And, you know, and doing it now and then, even when I went to New York, there was a lot of people coming to me, man, I always know you would be doing this, because you used to be singing hard, telling me to be fine and this, and I am very, very happy for where music has taken me. I'm very, very thankful to the Almighty for blessing me with the talent that He has blessed me with, honestly. And to all the people who have put my name where they have placed it, I am very, very thankful. I mean, thankful to Ronnie Clark and the whole Stark On Network for the Naughty People's Monitor. I mean, that was a competition when they first got into it. Me and Timmy coming head to head, and people seeing me went after Timmy won. Oh, man, you win the competition. Nah, Timmy win. Because for me coming second, they didn't even know how happy it was to come in a competition like that for the first time, busting the soccer song and coming second to Timmy.
Well, Statement and Sluggy, let me tell you this, because at that time, it was a combination of telephone calls and I think it was newspaper entries as well.
Yeah, you're correct.
And Statement beat Rupee in the quarterfinal.
Yes.
Rupee had a song called... Rupee had a song called What Happens in the Party Stays in the Party.
What happens in the party?
Now,
it was massive.
Now, the phone voting took place for 2 hours in those days in a quarterfinal. There were specific times because you had it for 2 hours, then you had to count the votes after. I want you to listen to me very carefully. What would happen is that the votes would be taken physically, the sheets with the numbers on, and then I think the newspaper votes as well would all be taken from what was, well, it's still Studio 3, but at the top of Studio 3 is where the calls were taken. And uh-huh. then they would leave Studio 3 and they would go up the corridor into Mr. Fanan's office,
uh-huh.
right? Once the tallies were made, to declare the result and then to put it on the air. And I was the person who would take the votes from that part of Studio 3 into the office after they've been counted. So I want you to listen carefully. I took the votes, right? And what the score was when they left.
Yeah, for the review, was it?
Yeah, because I was managing the competition at the time. So I took the votes.
Never knew this.
The score when they were in Studio 3 was the same score that was declared. And remember, the margin of victory was 1%.
Yes.
So I say that to tell all those persons who may have thought certain things relative to the competition. That's how serious that competition is, and how serious the people that have been involved in that competition are. So for that song, those are two great songs, and we've had a lot of instances in the People's Monarch where we've had great songs in quarterfinals and semifinals and finals, and it still happens. It's just that this has been since 2003 to show you the type of competition that we have and how tight it is. So those are the things that you don't see or hear about. But as you were talking about it, I figured, well, let me share with you the things that happened on that day, right?
No, I didn't. If I wanted to know that, I didn't know Stephen or not, but I didn't know you were the man at that.
Well,
I know Ronnie was there.
But from day one.
I had an idea that he was the person behind it. Because I remember when I was in Underground Studios, mm-hmm. and the competition came out and Darren Grant said, they got a competition called the People's Monarch. And somebody in here got a chance to win this competition. But all the time, Darren and Mikey were saying this, they keep looking at me, not Kian, nor Screwface. Big respect to both of them as well. And then when it came down, Darren was like, Underground could win this competition. I was like, okay. But the song that they were believing in wasn't the song I was believing in. Then they believing in Wanna Be. I was believing in the Harness song, because at that time, Ronnie, you know, Shadow was doing all these Harness songs.
Of course.
That was a rare reason.
Yeah. I did the Ronnie song. If Ronnie have it, maybe something you could play. You tell me you love me, baby. You tell me you need me, honey. So why when I'm not around, Manella, I'm keeping your company. I give you everything you want. So why you haunting me? That's the song I did. Natalie Burke on background vocals.
I remember that year, Kian had a big one and Screwface had a big one on the same rhythm.
Yes.
Give me something you got on my pot, and she had a song.
Give me somewhere you got.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Big songs, two massive songs.
I also did the chant in that song with Screwface.
That's right.
You know, but
I forgot about that.
So you see, for that song, you play that song today. It's one of those songs that you can play with your eyes closed, and you're not going to get any negative reaction to that song. Not that getting a negative reaction to a song stops you from playing a song per se, uh-huh. but there are some songs that are so basic, because if you think about it, that type of song and that type of theme was rare at the time. And then after that, you would get things like Love Zone by Keisha Christian. Keisha had the answer record to Statement song, and Statement came back the next year and won.
Yeah, then the next year he came back and everybody said, oh, he can be a one-hit wonder. Oh, he can't come back again. And I was like, whoa. It was a little pressure. And to be honest, the first time I'll say this, it was a little pressure because me coming out the gates with a song they want to be. Come on. There are artists that come back year after a big song or a very popular song. Me, my first time doing soca, really, still dabbling my feet in the water. And then open that gates with a song like Wanna Be. Come on, Sluggy. So the next year, then after that song, what everybody, I travel and everything, but I still focus in because I trying to find this next song. Because this next song gonna be just as good or better. And bam, I got hit one morning. If I can't be with you tonight, I don't need nobody. Wrote this song, you know. Had it in a book. I still have the book over this day. I still have the book. Forgot about the song, gone to Trinidad with Mikey, I made it with Deshra and Deshra's husband. They played a rhythm for me. And I started to freestyle this thing on this rhythm. came back to Barbados, but he got into Sandy Rhythm. I started to write this thing. And then the song took me right back to the quote, to the title of the song, If I Can't Be With You. But it was only after about 2 weeks busting my brain, I went back and looked in the book and saw this song. And I was like, wait, I was writing a song like this already. And I found the song, If I Can't Be With You. Call Mikey and Darren. They fell in love with it again.
Wow.
Mikey was like, statement, you're onto something here. Then I recorded the track on the rhythm that I got from Death Strand them. But for some reason, I wasn't feeling the rhythm anymore for what I had created now. The rhythm was totally different. The song was totally different and going a different direction than what the rhythm was doing. So Darren built a whole something from scratch. And we went along with that.
Darren again, boy.
Yeah. Darren did some fantastic work. Really and truly, Darren did some great work.
Yeah, for sure.
Finished writing If I Can't Be With You. Met up with this guy, True Peter Coppin, called Boy Wonder, and a lady called Babsy. Everybody knows of Babsy.
Yeah,
well, a lot of people don't know Babsy, and they're really, really tight. We're real cool. And she introduced me to this lady. I was annoyed. I feel so embarrassed that I can't remember the lady's name. And while I was singing If I Can't Be With You to this lady, the lady said, why you don't do a reply to this song? I said, a reply? She said, yeah, why you don't answer back what you're saying? I said, she said, yeah, just do a reply. You're saying, if I can't be with you, do something like, you know, maybe if I wanted to be you. And I say, you know what? I'll call you right back. I hang up the phone, Sluggy, Lonnie, Celia, Barbados. I hang up the phone. Sat down, and in 15 minutes, I wrote, when I wanted to be with you, you were out with some. And Sluggy, you'll get your satisfaction. No. When I wrote the reply, every single lyric that was in the replay or that is in the replay to When I Wanted to Be With You was things that a girl I was dating at the time before music took me was telling me. I remember all those nights I was lonely and missing you. No time for me you had, it was always you and your crew. Now that you realize that I'm talking to someone new, you're calling me up, but I ain't missing you. Cause when I wanted to be. And that song, Sluggy, always to this day, Ronnie, I still do not know which one of the two of those songs are the most popular one outside of Barbados. Because the response for all two of them was so, so, so epic. I remember If I Can't Be With You was so big in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. I used to be in St. Thomas so regular, Sluggy, so regular. And I remember one night, Liat, congrats to you, Liat. Liat made us miss our flight, connective flight to St. Thomas to do a show that was sold out. When I tell you sold out, remember we were in St. Thomas and the show was in another one of those smaller islands of St. Thomas. And we could not get across to do this show. They were thinking then about, because it was cross-fam myself, and they were saying, oh, well, why not just put him on the board and he just record? I was like, hell no. I ain't getting cross there myself. I hear a crossfire. So we didn't get to go into it that time. We had to come back then, and we went back down, I think, in another couple of weeks, I think about 3 weeks, 4 weeks after, and the same response again. And, you know, as I said, Sluggy, it was an enjoyable journey. I enjoyed every moment of it. And I am thankful for where I have been, for where I am, and still being recognized as a songwriter and an artist.
Yes, Stemma, don't go anywhere, man. Don't go anywhere. But that story, how the replay come, I don't think I ever heard that story, how the replay come. So you got to big up that lady that inspired the replay and put the spark in you about to do the replay. So you got to shout out her for sure.
Well, I can show you, but I ain't know who she can, who she did, can't even want to call. Are you so serious?
Don't worry.
I know she doesn't live in Barbados. She lives in Canada.
Yeah, but you're human and it happens. No, yeah. Miss Williams.
Good evening.
Good evening. No, people hear me say, are your creative ventures?
Yes.
So before I get into your business, before I dig deep into your business a little,
okay.
I just want to tell the Barbados and 92.9 BOB Country know, who are your creative ventures and what do you do before I get into your business?
Okay.
Yes.
So, greetings, first of all, and thanks again for having me.
No problem.
My name is Tila Williams, and I am the creative director of IO Creative Ventures. Well, IO Creative Ventures is a creative arts company. Because for me personally, as an artist, I dance, I model, I choreograph, you know, I host to do everything. So I didn't want to just focus on one part of the art because I'm known as a dancer, but I did not want to just focus on dance. So I wanted to create a platform where I could do entertainment, where it means produce entertainment for whether it's hotel, whether it's corporate. Also, we have a kids division, which we teach kids dance and theater, and it also is a creative space. We also do things like reading, etc. It has an extension where we have a charity as well, where we go to the hospital, we donate gifts, especially around Christmas time. And yeah, and of recent, we have our platform on Instagram, IG Live, with the series called Getting to Know Your Favorite Artist, which has been doing pretty well and has surpassed my expectations of how well it has been doing so far. But in essence, it's a creative arts company. It's a creative space.
Yes, and well, getting to know your favorite artist, I saw people in the comments from all over, which I just thought was phenomenal, and it hurt me from there. It's saying, whoa, like, everybody watching this too, you know what I mean? Like, if you could see, you have some of everyone there, but not saying any was better than any. I want to know two artists that you really enjoyed on your series, Getting to Know Your Favorite Artist, and why you enjoyed these two artists. Not that you only enjoy these two, is that we only have time to speak about two. So I want you to tell me two that you really enjoyed, and why. if you enjoyed all, that's great. Just call two. They want two.
Just call two. Just pinpoint two. That's really difficult to say, to be honest. But
good.
First of all, I mean, all the artists were so willing, and I got to thank all of them, from my back down to Mr. Dale. All of them, you know, Allison, Edwin.
Give me a story. Remember from one of the artists.
For me, I think Edwin's interview was one of my best.
General was great.
And I would say, because, I mean, I have a love for all artists, but anybody that knows me, especially growing up as a little girl, I used to, like, fangirl over Edwin. So to have now the opportunity to interview him, and I mean, I got to put
crazy.
All that aside.
It's crazy, right?
I have to put all that fangirl aside and, you know, bring what I'm supposed to do, host the show and ask the questions, you know. But to me, that part, you know, it was amazing. And what really and truly stood out in that interview, more than one thing, but it was about slight part of the journey of Crossfire. And then what made me stop in my tracks was when he said to me that he would like to do another interview, but this time to tell people about the journey of Crossfire. And he said, you know, when you're ready, because you're the boss lady. And for me, that was the cherry on the top for me. It was like, ooh, the general wants to do an interview with me to talk about, you know, the journey of Crossfire. That's amazing. So that was probably one. The other one would have to be with Chrissy B, which was only actually on Tuesday.
By the way, she's a very, very talented young lady. I heard a lot of songs that she wrote, and songs were crazy good. And I was pleasantly surprised. She's someone that I am glad that you let the public get to know her a little better, because she's very talented. Like, can't believe it. Right, so sorry for cutting you off.
No, that's okay. That's okay. She is. She's amazing. She just, like you said, it's a matter of notes, again, the right platform and just really believing in herself and going for it. But her interview was pretty good, too, because, I don't know, the energy was just, like, at one point in time, I forgot that we were having an interview, and I felt like I was just having a conversation with my girlfriend. So, you know, to have that level of comfort, and that's two. But I would also say that Blood's interview stood out because he gave a lot of history as it relates to his name, how he got it when he worked with Gabby. He even told us how Crossfire got its name. Not Crossfire, Square One got its name from Matt Fingal. So his was a lot of, Blood's interview was a load of knowledge, which was, for me, just what I needed.
Tina?
Yes, please.
Yes. Funny, holy, we were speaking, and you mentioned Edwin Earwood, obviously, so he will talk about Journey Crossfire, and Statement was speaking about his journey, and it was connected to Crossfire as well. But you see how, how awesome the universe is,
and
this is a nothing plan because you didn't even know Statement was coming. Statement know you coming.
Statement has always left me with
very
spiritual words, very comforting words. You know, he's always had an opinion in terms of what I've been doing, even if he just sees it, and he always compliments everything that I am doing. And
that's the boss. That is always Statement.
I ain't a boss like you. I'm Statement. Statement for who knows that Statement and Nigel for. But you know, in this world that we live in, we need to always compliment each other. Even if me and somebody ain't really that close of a friend and you're doing great work, I will humbly tell you, you're doing great work. You're doing good things. I'm proud of what you're doing. You know what I mean? And I think that is one of the things that we as artists, and I will say this on national radio, as bad as COVID-19 is, COVID-19 has reset the whole bar. And it makes all of us look at ourselves and say, you know what? None of us are way better than none. All of us are in the same ocean, different boats.
Yep.
But we are all facing the same situation.
True.
And I always said this, and Lorenzo, who are long on it and ran with it, and they can say it the first thing for Tia to hear it. And I think you slugging it. Music for me, music, entertainment for me is like a tree. And the leaves and the branches of that tree are we the artists, the entertainers, the musicians, the producers, the promoters, the radio DJs. And the wind that blows is the money that is out there for all of us to make. All we need to do is be like the roots of that tree and be grounded. That we all need each other to make it. And I've said that for years, and Lorenzo heard me say that once. And Lorenzo flew along to it.
I continue to preach that.
Because
really,
at the end of the day, I am more important that you're just maybe doing something that you can't do. That's what I always tell people. I'm just doing something in public that you, a member, the person in public, don't do or can't do or feel you can't do. And I just get looked at as a person that's doing this, and you're saying, well, I appreciate the fact that I may be doing it well and I'm doing it good. But in this journey, there's always somebody who's going to come after you that's going to be better than you. And if you continue to stick going in this life, in this journey, and feel that you're always going to be at the top, you're wrong, buddy. But what you should do is that while you're at the top, don't do nothing that when you come down, that no one wants to remember when you were at the top. Always, as the old people say, always left room to wash your foot, left water to wash your feet. When you fall, don't fall from 10 down to 0, because then it means that you had to do something really bad. When you fall, make sure you're still at a level that everybody still remembers you and respects you. That's how we look at it in this journey. Real talk.
I love that, and I second that for sure. And when you spoke about it being the leaves and the branches, is so true. Because look at the connection. Look at the branches. You spoke about Evan Crossfire.
I didn't even know that Tilly was going to be on. Look at Tilly. Come on. Look at how Tilly speak about Edwin. And all of my travel, most of my traveling I've done with Crossfire. I've learned a lot. And most people don't even know. One of the persons who really, 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 really got me involved in soca music is Tony Rebel Bailey. When I first decided I wanted to try soca music, I went my first Crossfire show. We were playing in the Boatyard. And I walked into the Boatyard to hear this band playing, because they started checking out on Crossfire. And I out there sitting down, Tony Bailey probably recognized me from doing my reggae, because how many more? And Last Days, as you know, was on CBC, and Last Days was the only popular song that people knew me from. Nobody ever knew me as a soca artist till they realized it. This is the thing, Last Days. And Tony Bailey walking to me, yo, Statement. I say, who's you? He said, Tony Bailey, Crossfire. Every time I call you now, they just repeat that phrase a lot. And one of the first songs, Sluggy, one of the first soca songs that I wrote, I didn't even sing it.
and he wrote it in Rebel's apartment and gave it to Star Perez. And Star Perez signed the first song that I wrote as a soca song. And then from there, it just went on. So,
I didn't know that.
I tell you, there's a lot of history in me that I don't. Some of them I just remember, some of them I just be there, but I know they're there. But like I tell you, I can't remember. I would go and call Rebel to ask Rebel. That is true. I wrote for Tara Holden. I wrote for Keisha Christian.
Yes.
I wrote a song for KML Nurse. I did a song with KML on Jazz Delight.
Yes.
You know, but I did a lot of traveling with Crossfire, and I don't regret a day of traveling with Crossfire. Nothing in life is perfect, but I had a lot of experiences, a lot of fun times. And I mean, there are things that I can say that are best that people laugh because I did have a good time. I did enjoy it.
Yes.
And, you know, to all the artists, the inner artists that come and say statements, I was a negative because I am always want to be positive. And, you know, like they say, we are the leaves and the branches of that tree, whether you want to call it a mayamossi tree, a mul tree, whatever cash tree you want to call it.
No, they're real tall. We
are the leaves and the branches, the artists, the promoters, the DJs, the producers. You know, we are all the branches and the leaves of this tree. And the wind, as I say, that blows is money that is out there for all of us to make. All we need to do is be the root of this tree, be grounded like the roots of this tree, that
yes.
we can all hold firm and know that we will make it. With that being said, I don't want to be taking that every time because I know it's me and Tilia and I want you to answer the thought because I have a lot of respect for Tilia.
Oh, yes.
The things that she does. She is a fantastic person.
Oh, yes.
She does a lot of fantastic work. And she's a great person.
Yes.
No, you go ahead, Sluggy. Tila.
Yes, please.
I want to know, right, how did you came up with that name?
Ayo?
I mean the idea to make... The name, where the name come from, and then the idea to make this name the name of your business and the name you want going forward.
The name means joy. It's actually from African descent. It depends on the tribe or the country in Africa. It means high as well. But my original meaning is joy, and it's from the Yoruba tradition. So that's where it came from. How it came about is because from one of my final exams at EBCCI, my final dance piece, I wanted something different.
Mm.
And I just wanted something in a different language or something. And I said, okay, the piece is going to be something really fun and everything. So I went looking on the computer and just, you know, typing and stuff. And I saw IO.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was getting different meanings. And I remembered, we have a Nigerian at school. Let me go to him and make sure that the meaning is correct.
Oh, yeah. That'd be worse.
Right. I went to him, and he was like, you know, he told me what it was and everything. So
yeah.
That was the name of my piece. And at the time, the company, I did not start the company. So when I left school and everything, I wanted to create the space and the platform. And I remembered IOM because of what it means. So I had IO Creative, and I went to register the business. I could not figure out, okay, should I call it IO Creative Dance School? Should I call it Create Creative What? And the ventures just came. And it was like, because I know that I'm going to go on a lot of ventures and adventures as it relates to this business. And the word ventures does not limit me to just a dance school. So that's how it
came about. That is true. That is very smart. She was a smart girl.
Yeah, I try.
So where like you said you EBCCA, right? How was that experience for you? Because I hear you speaking about your final exam. So I mean, you had some sort of degree at UV. I know the gruesome process as doing a degree in the arts myself. So you want to hear that experience?
The experience was. Wow! It was really taxing on your mental, not, and I don't even mean from the schoolwork perspective, but for us, obviously, we had to do things like, so I would have things like choreography exams, because I did dance and theater, so I have a choreography exam, so I have to, you know, so it was more hands-on, which was good, it prepared me for what I'm doing now.
Well, enough but, work.
Yeah, so it was really taxing, and for me, I mean, being really vulnerable, I was very intimidated in dance class most times, so I had to deal with that as well, too, and trying to balance, you know, my...
And they can't look, at you and see that at all, that intimidation.
I saw it being told, but I
that was, sorry to cut you off, but you just threw me off. And if people know her, you can go online, like she said, go on Instagram. And before she finishes, unless she's spelling names, her boy can go and check it out. But when people go and see what you do, like, they want people to see what you see, and they can't see that intimidation because you look confident, you're always smiling, you're enjoying it.
I get that all the time.
You still see that a bit, or you got over that?
It still comes and goes, to be honest. I get full for me personally too, because yes, I have the business, but I also have Tila the brand, you know, and as a plus size dancer, you know, obviously I had to deal with a lot of things coming up. You know, we are quote unquote accepted now within society, but you know, it was a rough journey. So, you know, you're hearing a lot of things and, you know, so I guess.
But being good, you would say that. I don't want you to be completely honest, because you said like you're a, you know, plus size dancer or whatever. So you're talking about a bit of the struggles going there, being getting too traumatic, but
that's okay.
being good, because like to me you're good, right?
Thank
so
you.
Being good helped you, because you think if you was a plus size dancer but you couldn't dance well, you feel you would have quit. Think about it. Little one of being good at we was doing helped you to still do it and not quit.
I don't think it was the being good. I think it was my determination and my passion for the art form. That
solely. Well, no, you said like that.
She had a high self-esteem.
Yeah.
I think that's what more, you know, not that I was good or better than anybody else. I mean, at times it would drive me, because it would be like, okay, I know, not that I'm better than somebody, but I know maybe I can move a certain way.
You can get forward, like, quote, and like, in the young people say, like, when it, like, I mean, you can get a good response from people still, because people can be like, whoa, she could
die. Exactly.
So that would mean if that helped at all, but you're saying it was you, like, you block all
of
that.
I think it maybe helped, but I think it was more my determination and my passion for the art form that...
But why did you love it so much then, or why do you still love it so much now? Because
I grew up
this determination, so I want to know why do you love it so much?
Well, for me, I think I love dance, and I think culture in the whole. I just think it's part of me, it was part of my DNA, and sometimes, you know, things are part of you, and you sometimes don't realize until you really sit down and put two and two together, you know, the leaves on the tree.
It's true.
But I always grew up with the idea that, you know, I would be making up dances at in the community and that kind of stuff. And
well, nice. How early did you start, man?
I started dancing maybe from the time I was like 7, 8, but not professionally, because my mom was a single mom, and at the same time, you know, it couldn't be a case she could take me to dance classes or whatever the case may be.
Yes.
So
shout out, mom, for sure.
For sure. But I did. So I only started to train, like, really hard in my, like, yeah, like, maybe when I was, like, 18 going on to, like, 20-ish. So I started really late in terms of professional training, I should say. Trained and different things.
And your mind all the time, is, like, hey, doing this. This is what you want to do.
Yep. I didn't see the end in terms of, I didn't see, well, okay, this is what exactly I'm going to do. I just know, okay, I want to be in the industry. I want to be in the arts. It's my love, whether it's dancing, acting, working stage, like, you know, being a producer in terms of certain things. Like, for me, it was always that I want to be within the industry. I want to be part of that.
I know you're talking about acting, dancing. I must ask you this, because I your production, whatever you do, it looks well put together, which is always good because it will keep the audience ready online or you on stage. So you have a team that's helping behind the scenes, whether it's live in person or is live on social media. You have a team that is be there helping you?
Or is you alone? Yeah, I have a team.
But it looks well put together to me.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I have a team that has changed over the course of time, you know, so everybody that has passed through and lent a hand, I thank them graciously. So, yeah, I have one or two other tutors that would teach interns as the kids. And she's also part of the performing core as well. So I have dancers that I would mainly work with in terms of, like, for instance, if we have to back somebody for beta drama or production that I would use. And then there's some people that I would pull. There's somebody else that if I need to sit down and go through in terms of costing and stuff, we will work it out. And I also have, well, I call her my mentor, my dance mom, my everything. You know, she would, in terms of guiding me, in terms of, you know, what's next for Tila, like what you think you should be doing and that kind of stuff.
Well, that's good. It's good. So if Beyonce's already listening, it's always good to have a team. That always works so well. I also heard a statement mentioning many names. Statement mentioned Rebel, mentioned before CrossFit, Eric mentioned Darren Grant. So it's evident that a good team is imperative if you want to go for a show the team. And I also saw on Fierce Flavor, Keisha, you saw that she posted you a lot and really, really push you on social media a lot too. So I want to shout out Keisha as well.
She's my other tutor and she's part of the performing core. She's a vital, vital part of IO Creative.
She's a very, very supportive lady, I must say, like very, very supportive.
She is.
Tell me, Nora, everybody.
Wow. Well, you see, you forget what I just said. We are the leaves and the branches. We are the leaves and the branches of this industry.
Yes.
So I know, if I tell the story with Keisha, when I did All Night Till Morning, there was a learning in that song that rubbed Keisha Balak area. All night till morning, I looking for something to wank. Keisha, they hate that. Like, when you come here, I looking for what to wank. I say, I put what the song felt like flowing. She wanted me to say, all night till morning, I looking for a girl to wine all night. And I said, no. All night till morning, I looking for something to wine all night. But you see, something to wine on all night. And she was like, but you can say a woman, you can say something, you call a woman something. I said, no.
I got to say,
big respect to Keisha, fearless flavor. And I cannot end this interview at all with so big and maximum respect.
Yes.
Two people, which is Anthony Loha of Commercial Music Inc.
And
big respect to Randy Eastman of Quantum Production. I have to big up Randy.
Yeah. Thanks.
Quantum Production and Commercial Music Inc.
Yes. But before we go, I got a question for you, statement. And Miss Williams. They want to hear something we can do, especially now during this time.
Peter, you want to go first? Go ahead and tell her the rest of the time.
No problem, but listen, the question
my part.
I just want something we can do now, especially during this time and going forward, to make sure that our artists see a better light. For lack of better words, to make life a little easier for us here, you know, to get us a little further forward, if you may. I just want something that we can do, especially now during this time.
I think we should all do.
Go ahead.
Is far more unity amongst each other. And that is the only way we can go forward in this business. You know, it makes sense. I ain't want to help you because I think you can get further than me, or I ain't helping you because I doing it for myself and they want to go in. Nah, it can't work that way. One, my final thing is this. Two, I can cause a little spark, you know, to go up into a fire. I would appreciate and love that all of the DJs on the radio station, that at this time now that we are under COVID, we're in a pandemic where the artists that were traveling and make money and survive off of this can't travel because nobody's going anywhere. that they'll use this thing that we are not, now that we are not even going to have a crossover season where we would all make some money by performing, that the DJs on radio, Ronnie, that the DJs on radio will not just, will use this time now still and play a lot of the soca, like go to the, still go to the 100% soca music, play even music from last year. I know that a lot of artists can probably bring music, a lot might not bring music, but just play a lot of the music this year so that the artist then could still get a royalty to get a food to eat. That is as much as I would like.
Mr. Barnett,
that's all I want.
I was here in the pavilion with my pads on, just waiting for my chance to come in the middle and, you know, face that kind of bowling. Me and you go way back. So we go way back, hip-hop, soca days. So that's well established. I can say, as far as VOB is concerned, since June the 1st, we're in full fireworks, crop over mode, crop over city, where the spirit of crop over lives. No festival, no problem. That's what we're saying this year. Hot FM will be 100% from July the 1st. But if you've noticed since the COVID lockdown in March, we've been playing a lot of local music. We've had some specific sessions of over 5, 6, and 7 hours of everything from Bashment to Sweet Soca to Bajan Reggae. Now, we will be heading towards that 100% on Hot, as we normally do in June. We're at least 50%. And that started already. So that was a conscious, deliberate decision, and the lockdown, and we've had some slight tweaks in our rosters as well. We've had to be automated at certain periods, and with the new music coming, we've got about 58 songs already, which is quite good. Most of them are Sweet Soca, a couple of Bashmen, a couple of Commentaries. Blood has the Solitary Pace track right now, but we know it's going to be different because of the protocols relative to physical distancing and gathering and non-gathering and remaining and holding at venues. In time, there will be some type of live interaction because the music is also driven by the momentum that certain songs gain at events and in competitions, etc. We don't have the competitions this year, but we still have music. We still have artists. Now, from a StarCom perspective, we're working on Star Tunes. So any artist out there that's a member of COSCAP, first of all, should contact Gail at COSCAP and get your music prepared and ready. Get the contract signed because the percentage breakdown is very favorable as far as the artists and the composers are concerned. And that is something where we've always felt, and this was the plan since last year, with 500 songs coming out every year for the festival, we always get calls, messages. I like that song, but where can I buy it? So we recognize, look, now we've been looking at this in some form since 2012, you know, when we had a different type of setup. But it was felt, as far as Cropover's concerned, that would be the best time to launch that platform for music. Because if there's commentary that people like and they've gone through the process with COSCAP, we can put them on a platform where you will expect to find Bajan music. Look, Spotify is all right. Pandora's fine. iTunes is cool. But Barbadian music is not prioritized there. It's a place where people who want to buy the music and they're accustomed to buying other people's music can go. What the difference will be with Star Tunes is that Barbadian music, Barbadian film, we're working on that as well. Possibly Barbadian books, audio or text downloads, if you like it like that for your device or platform. That's what we're looking at. Because there are Barbadians here in the Caribbean, outside of the region, 24 hours a day, that would appreciate something Barbadian. We're even looking at historical, archival news audio as well. So the artists, and I've always been told from early, you should be in a position where you can find something that will make money for you while you sleep. So in as much as live engagements locally, regionally, and overseas are good and proper, you must be able to find a revenue stream that will bring money for you that 24 hours a day when you can't perform 24 hours a day. That's why whether you've got something novel or you've got something that people have been clamoring for, having it available in a place where people can say, look, if you want something Bajan, check Star Tunes. That's the whole point. Then the real problem with a lot of these free concerts is it makes you accessible to your fans and people who are curious to see what the event is about. But unless you have sponsors that are willing to undertake the entire cost as if it were a live show for the mere purpose of promotion of their brand or product, you're not going to get the type of money that you would get if you were personally performing at a crop over event. in a competition or at a tremendous event like Soca on the Hill. So the music aspect of it, it's not going to change as far as we're concerned. We're doing exactly what we're doing as if it was Crop Over. So you have our understanding as far as that music is concerned. And yes, if you listen to some of the music that's been released at this time, if we had the normal approach where competitions are happening, then some of the songs that you're hearing now may not get the exposure because of the volume of songs. For example, Bashment competition is the first one. You know by now, June the 6th, with the competition in the first week of July, we would have had over 200 Bashment songs already. We would have had Bashment songs from February because they know the event is on. People had already recorded, but then COVID came in the middle of March and shut everything down. Some would have finished, some would be at half finished and decide, well, we ain't doing it no more. Same thing with people that sing social commentary, because some of them may not necessarily want to release social commentary unless there's a competition for them. There are others that, if they can, they will record the songs anyway because they are messengers. Now, I would like to ask you, now that we've established that point, that the music is definitely going to be played and it's getting played all now, and you said that you want to speak frankly, do you believe that the competitions that we have traditionally had that are on pause this year, do you believe that there are songs in all three competitions, well, four, Bashment, Sweet Soca, Party Monarch, well, it's now Party Monarch, but Sweet Soca and Pace and Social Commentary, do you believe there are songs that are overlooked every year because of the competition, that if they do not make a semi-finals or finals, if they don't make semi-finals or finals, the impression is given by some that those songs ain't went nowhere, they may say nain, when I personally know that there are a number of songs every year because of how people's attention is focused on the stages of the competition. All right, preliminaries, we'll listen to everything. Semi-finals, let's listen to the semi-finalists. Finals, let's listen to the finalists. Winners, let's listen to the top three or top four. You're telling me out of 500 songs, only 30 songs are worth it? I don't agree with that. But you as an artist, this may be a loaded question because you have been overlooked many times with great songs. Do you feel that or you just ignore that?
They got cut out running?
I don't know. Statement, are you there? Maybe he was so passionate in his response, he blew up the phone.
Tila gone too?
No, she's there. But it's not fair. Now Tila, as a younger person who would be a part of Crop Over and observe it, maybe even, have you danced for a couple of the finalists and that kind of thing too?
Yeah, I dance and I creative direct for some of them in terms of their presentation.
Right. So mm-hmm. Outside of the competition as a fan, but then again, also using your insight, because you know the mood when it comes to competition and being on a bigger occasion. Do you believe that the competition relegates certain work because it didn't win a competition or it didn't qualify for a final?
I don't think so, but I find that artists, they see it as that. You know, they literally use it in a sense of, I have to be in a semifinals or I have to be in a finals. But I don't think it would say that the work is, you know, it makes it better or worse.
Mm. So that means the value of the work is not bound up in whether they win or come last.
Yeah. Because there are songs that could win a competition, but it's not the biggest song on the road.
That happens. That happens often.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sluggy, what do you think while I try and get a statement here?
Well, as we know, in order for competition, you have to, if you want to win or do pretty well, go away a certain way. That you see certain songs outside the competition or travel, and they could say this and they could quote in right plastic by who's been on, there'll be lots of things. Always say, well, most of the work he traveled with and made most of his money with and his living over all the years weren't songs that was in competition. You see, he won the competition about 10 times, he said. I think it was 8 times. He also won several other things in competition, several other competitions, but he said that most of the songs that he would travel and make most of his living over this 20 or 30 years were not songs in competition. And that is the the person in Barbados who have the most crowns.
Yeah, but that's different. That's social commentary, traditional slow to mid-tempo, songs that are topical and in order to win a competition in Barbados must be relevant to the local audience. Internationally, he's come with Ragga Ragga when it was Sweet Soca, and then you've got Once Upon a Wine, you've got Sweetness,
right.
You've got Right Now That Is Why, which is different. And he's got a whole repertoire. He could sing three different types of concerts. He could sing social commentary, he could do Sweet and Ragga Soca, and he can do up-tempo as well. Statement, you're back on the line.
Yes, I am.
Did you hear my question?
I don't know what happened, what went wrong. I was on the phone listening to your conversation, and next minute in my ears, I hear click. I didn't hear nothing, I didn't hear a. I won't say that word, not on radio, because I don't want to have cancellations on your show. I want this show here now to continue. So, Ronnie, continue, do what you do.
Well, statement, don't let me on you and come wrong. Would you please give me the answer to the question? Many years you're unfair in competition. When you have material that was very strong. So I want to know, on VOB, tell the audience and please tell me if you feel happy or if you feel sad for the many times you get treated bad.
Well, Ronnie, pay attention. I don't really care about competition, but I do it because of the association with soca music. You mustn't have won. But if I go in and I don't ever win, or they don't even decide to put me within, I just give thanks and praises to God. And for the winner, I just always give an applause.
Nice,
you're a great artist. You're a great artist. So listen here. How do you feel with no crop over this year? Will it make a difference to your success? Or do you accept that you are still blessed? Will you come back in 2021 when they resume the competition? And if you do, please tell us now. The name of your song, if not anyhow.
Well, Ronnie, I do agree. I feel very sad and very badly that there will be no crop over for you or me. But I will still come and compete. 2021, I can't wait till it comes. I already sitting down and pen about 10 songs this year for 2020, Ronnie. A song I'm writing is called I Do In This Thing Believe.
You came with X-Tempo, and so did I. And now it's time for Sluggy to give it a try. You can't expect 10 past 7 o'clock. Me and you flinging down, and Leffy in shock. Sluggy, do your thing, represent yourself. Please don't leave your X-Tempo up on the shelf. VOB 92.9, statement has had his say, and I have had mine.
Well, good night, Mr. Ronnie Clark, and Statement and Miss Williams. I want to thank you from my heart. You were great, great from the start. I am glad that you were a part of this show, Beaten Rhythm and Rhyme. Saturday, 6 o'clock is the same time. I really appreciate every one of you, and have a blessed 2020, you.
Listen, Statement. Listen, Sluggy. I think it's time we hear from the lady. The great dancer and organizer, the producer and content provider. I think she is qualified to give us a taste of lyrical excellence and not just moving her waist. So we are waiting with bated breath. Please don't kill Sluggy Statement and me with lyrical death.
I want to thank you, gentlemen, tonight for inviting me to this bright surprise. I want to know... I don't know.
I will finish it, Celia, for you. You want to say thank you to Sluggy and Ronnie, it's true. I will continue for you and represent you well, because you is my friend, everyone can tell. I wish you more success in 2020, 2021, 22, and also 23.
She's talented, gifted, and brilliant. But please, my lady, remain physically distant. It's COVID-19. It is lockdown, it is curfew, and it is shut down. But when things open up, and we are here to create in our cultural sphere, please don't hesitate to show us your class. Don't let any of your content pass.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. Want to hear. Ronnie and Stemma, of course, in fine form, because when you get here on VOB, and I must say, I want to thank Star Company Bottom of my heart, because everyone knows they love Bajan music on Hot, like Ronnie said, for hours and hours of pure Bajan. It was a party, and of course, on VOB 92.9, it's fireworks. On Monday, I will have two youngsters calling in. With Larry Mears, you can get fireworks every day of the week. So music is coming for sure, and I want to thank Starcon for that. Stemma, you were great as usual. You showed
thank you.
You showed that form is temporary, class is permanent, and you are a great, great artist, my brother. And I wish you nothing but success. And I'm so glad that where you are living, your peers, like Mr. Williams, could speak so positively about you and many others. And I'm glad that you could speak positively about others as well while you are here. So I wish you much more and everything good that comes to you, sir. You deserve it. You deserve everything good coming to you, my brother. From one brother to another is nothing but love. And keep being great, my brother.
Yeah, man. Same thing to you. It's like a gift, thanks, and I wish you continuous blessings on what you're doing and helping the youngsters that, you know, need to be what's the word, that need to get out there, need to be recognized.
True.
And you're doing a fantastic job. As I said earlier, there's another person you got to also say big respect to, as well as Randy Eastman, who's doing a fantastic job. Thank you, Ronnie, for having me. It's a pleasure being here. I mean, I honestly do feel bad that we wouldn't have a couple of I still, today, I could not even believe it. Went to the lady today and she asked me if we can be still having songs, and I was like, I still can't even believe that we are not having a couple of you know,
yeah,
but it is what it is.
It's one of them ones, statement, boy. It's one of them ones that.
It is what it is, but we're here, and I hope and give thanks and praise that next year that we all will be here again. But
yes,
Telia,
please.
Hi.
Before all of you go, I want you to always remember this. I can send it to you soon if you want me to. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are a conqueror, and you shall be blessed in the field and anywhere that you are called.
Amen.
Continue to be good. Stay positive.
Amen.
Stay blessed.
Pass the statement with the word.
Yes, and Ms. Williams, I really want to thank you. And I must say, you're doing a great job. I want to thank you for saying yes. I want to thank you for keep bringing content. And I want to thank you for being so welcoming on my show. And being so humble and being so engaging. You know, the first thing we ever spoke on radio, the first thing we really ever spoke, and you were nothing but brilliant. So I really want to tell you thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Ayo Creative Ventures, AYO Creative Ventures. Check them out on social media. Ma'am, you have been great, and it's thank you.
I thank you too. Thank you. I really do appreciate the platform and appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
I want to say to the Kings and, of course, the Queen, next 10 songs and all our VOB family around the world. We've been blazing Bajan for the entire day, you know. Even putting in sauce. And a tribute to the late, great Romeo. We've had that as well. I just want to say, if you think that statement is a one-song or two-song, man, I'm going to peel off 10 tracks. This is just 10 of about 58 we got in the system, you know.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? So,
right now, Ronnie?
I'm gonna peel off 10 without saying a word.
Woo!
All right,
we're gonna kick off with
a wannabe right here. I ain't gonna tell you what the others are. Stay tuned, and you will hear the quality of this man's work. All right, so
I'm gonna say, enjoy.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Oh yeah.